Hi and welcome to Matrix Moments. This is Saloni, and on today's episode we have Sudipto Sanigrahi, who is principal as well as the lead for B2B for the B2B sector at Matrix Partners India, among others. Today we're going to be talking about perishable supply chains, and Sudipto has actually recently invested, I would say, fairly heavily within this space. So Sudipto, can you break it down and actually tell us what really is a perishable supply chain?
Sure, Saloni. First of all, thank you. As you know, we are doing this series on B2B marketplaces and sort of different nuances to it. So for example, in the last episode we spoke, right? If you look at the Indian consumer, an Indian consumer consumes up to $1 trillion worth of goods.
Right.
What do they consume? They consume milk, they consume fruits and vegetables, they consume seafood. And across these three sectors, it's close to 250 to 300 billion of that entire pie. Rest is obviously FMCG goods, grains, pulses, home decor, electronics, smartphones, lifestyle and accessories and others, right? Now, if you look at these categories, what is perishable? Perishable is something which is very low shelf life, which means from the time of production, whether it's a farm or factory, to the time of consumption, it is a very short period of time, after which it essentially degrades or deteriorates in quality or value. So in these three supply chains, milk and milk products, fish, animal protein, seafood, and fruits and vegetables are which are the large categories within perishable supply chains. And these are the areas where, you know, as a fund, we've invested in Country Delight in milk, in Captain Fresh for seafood, animal and protein, and in fruits, we have invested, we are investors in Vigro, right? And so we have invested across actually all these three verticals. Vigro, Captain Fresh being B2B, and we'll speak a lot more about those two companies today. And Captain Fresh is more vertically integrated D2C. But all these three are perishable supply chain investments. And of the $1 trillion of consumption, close to 30% what a customer consumes is actually perishable.
Right. You just mentioned verticals, which is literally my next question. So why are perishable supply chains good verticals to build marketplaces on?
Sure. So again, referencing to what we have spoken before, right? A great marketplace is someone who is essentially solving and creating value in the supply chain. If you're essentially you're a trader who is pushing boxes from point A to point B and eliminating middlemen, then you are truly not adding value. Because today in India, in most supply chains, right, there are 2-3 intermediaries. Those 2-3 intermediaries essentially put in their labor and their capital, and for that they make a few percentage points in margin.
Right.
If you want to replace them and say replace 2-3 middlemen and connect from A to B, you will make some margin, but that will be a very thin margin business and you are not adding true value. However, if you look at perishable supply chains, there are no large B2B perishable supply chain company in India till now. Why? Because if you have to build a pan-India large perishable supply chain, you have to solve for a lot of problems. What do you need to solve for? First, you have to take produce from point A to some place 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 kilometers away. So moving that article in transit and ensuring its freshness is a challenge in itself.
Right.
Second, in perishable supply chain, every time someone touches a product, you touch a fish or you touch a fruit, the product actually reduces in value.
Absolutely.
Because its quality degrades.
Of course.
How do you design around that? Then perishable supply chain, there are a lot of grades. For example, if you're consuming wheat, the customer generally is not that fussy around what is the kind of wheat. If you are buying apple or seafood, the quality of the apple, the size of the apple, the color of the apple is very different. So the end customer's needs vary differently, right? So there are a lot of challenges to be solved. You have challenges on around wastage and dump. A lot of perishable supply chains have up to 25-30% in wastage, because in transition, they either the quality gets depleted, or what the customer wanted, the exact quality does not come to him or her, right? So there are a lot of problems to be solved. Wherever there are problems, that's where entrepreneurs can actually come, build first principles models, and use tech to solve some of them, right? Which is why we are very bullish on perishable supply chains.
Got it. You spoke a little bit about the problems, but could you go a little deeper on what really are the problems that you see, you know, from Captain Fresh or Vigro, or what are the real areas that the founders are spending max time on to solve for, and what really are the challenges in the space?
Sure. So if you have to build a great company in perishable supply chain, right, the process is fairly simple, and Captain Fresh, WeGrow broadly follow similar process as well. First, you need to procure at scale from the source. So if you are going to a farmer, you buy the entire orchard of apples. You go to a fisherman, you buy all the fish from the pond. So first, can you procure at scale? Because in every orchard or every sort of pond, there will be some fish which is good and some which isn't. Most companies in or traders have in the past tried to get the good fish or the good apples. The challenge is, what will the farmer do with the rest of the products?
True.
Which is why the good fish and the good apple is charged super normally, so to compensate for the loss for the other products, right? So first, can you procure at scale? Second, do you have the technology to have this entire orchard that you have procured or a pond that you have procured and grade the quality of the fish or the quality of the fruit? So first is ability to procure. Second is technology to grade and figure out the quality. Third is, do you have the distribution network that once you know this is grade A, grade B, grade C, can you distribute? Typically in any supply chain, the best quality product is actually exported.
Right.
Then you sell to modern retailer brands. Then you sell to GT. And then you essentially through distribution networks in tier 2, tier 3, essentially it lands up there, or unfortunately it lands up in hotels and hostels and sort of canteens and stuff like that, right? Then the third thing is, do you have this distribution network that once you have all the produce, you have graded it, can you distribute it to the right people, right? And fourth is having the logistics and supply chain, that from procurement to the final consumer, it is a 2-3 touch process,
right,
versus a 10 to 12 touch process. And by doing each one of them, by procuring at scale, you are procuring it cheaper. By grading it, you are essentially figuring out who will pay premium for that produce. Through the supply chain, you are reducing wastage. And then finally, everything that you buy, you are selling all of it, which reduces dump and wastage. The good startups in this space for building for perishable supply chains are actually solving for all of it. And the thing that we really love is, not only are they building a great business, food is a major problem,
right,
not only in India but globally. They are reducing wastage by doing all of this. And they're essentially building the capability that for the end customer, you can get the right quality of produce at the right price without any wastage happening in the middle, which is why we really, really like this space.
Got it. But in an ideal world, if you had to, you know, if you had to kind of put down what really does a marketplace solve for, what would you say?
So marketplace in any ideal world solves for discovery, where
I would have thought aggregation, but okay. Yeah,
which is, first is discovery. Like, I am sitting in my hometown, I don't have access, if I'm a retailer in my hometown, don't have access to fish in the coastal areas of Andhra or orchards in Kashmir, right?
Fair enough.
So discovery of different products. So that's the first thing that marketplace solves for. Second, they solve for trust. If I'm buying and they are committing to a particular quality, that will be the quality, because I have to then sell it to my end customer, right? And third is essentially price, that I'm getting it at the right fair price. And fourth, sometimes it's more around credit and stuff like that. Through what I spoke before, all of these things can actually be solved for the end buyer and customer.
Right. Could you like summarize for us in, I know it's hard, but if you could summarize why you actually did invest in companies like Captain Fresh and WeGrow, and from your first investment and, you know, across the follow-on rounds, what have you really, for you, have there been learnings? And if yes, then what are some of those learnings?
Sure. First, I think on both, right? So both WeGrow and Captain Fresh have similar thesis. And we went early in both.
Correct.
First, I think founders. I think both these set of founders have 10,000 hours in the space. The WeGrow founders have known for 10, 12 years.
Right.
Shobhit, one of their co-founders, and we are from the same wing at IIT.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So we have same hostel, same wing, same hostel, bagal bagal rooms. So I've known him for 12, 14 years now. And Uttam I've known for at least a few years. And actually we spent 6-8 months discussing before we ended up investing. So very few people understand the complexities of a perishable supply chain. Everybody thinks ki buy from the mandi, sell to the B2B customer. It is actually, if you have to solve for perishable, like Chakri does for Country Delight as well, you have to go to the source.
True.
And these founders truly understood that, and they were actually building capabilities that they could go to source, do the hard work of procuring at scale, quality, matchmaking, connect to the right customer, which was very interesting. So first, I think two very sort of talented and special set of founders were building businesses, right? Second, the thesis, I think both of them actually almost said 80-90% of the same thing and in terms of how they want to solve. Although it was different verticals.
Do you remember a line of what the line that they said, which was the same thing?
Everyone ended up saying this is a procuring at scale and then a matchmaking business. That you procure at scale, you do matchmaking, and over a period of time, you want distributor demand. Obviously, they have taken different approaches to it, obviously different material, different B2B products that they're building the marketplace in, but their thought process is very similar in the way they do things, which is very interesting to see.
Right.
I think as we have invested, I have also learned a lot from both the companies. I think from WeGrow, I have learned that it is a technology and data company and not a supply chain company. They have truly demonstrated how tech and data can lead to growth, can lead to expansion in margins, can lead to reduction in wastage and demand. I think what Captain Fresh has taught me is how distribution can be a moat. You have done all the hard work of procuring at scale, but they have truly magnificently cracked all kinds of distribution. So they do modern trade, they do general trade, so B2B, B2R. They sell to online brands who essentially sell to the end customer. They sell to aggregators like Swiggy, etc. Through Instamart, and which sells to end customers. They do group sort of social commerce where they go to societies and there's an influencer in the society that also sells fish. They go to hawkers and hawkers sell fish, and they're doing exports to different destinations in different formats. So what Captain Fresh has really taught is once you have this supply and you have the product, process, tech to handle something which is as delicate as fish, then you can just scale one distribution channel after another and grow really, really non-linearly and rapidly. And the beauty is the more expansive your distribution channel is, the more you can procure. Because for Captain Fresh, whatever you buy, they can sell.
Right.
Because they have all distribution channels across all grades, they can do it, right? So those are the broad learnings. So if anybody is trying to build in perishable supply chain, I think first go to the source, solve for supply, ensure you have the capability of procuring at scale, do quality and sort of quality grading, and then have the supply chain to deliver it to the end customer without touching the product a multiple number of times. If you can build that capability, then you can open one distribution channel after another and scale non-linearly. And both these companies for us have demonstrated that.
Very interesting. But what's next? Like going forward, how are you looking at the space, and what are the some of the opportunities or even like interesting trends that you're tracking from a future perspective?
So I think in terms of domestic markets, we have the category leaders, right? Those are the companies I mentioned. But India exports a lot of produce globally. Will incumbents do some of the exports? Yes. Will new companies have opportunity to do something interesting in space? Definitely, yes. So there's an area and an opportunity where you can build an export brand for India. It may not be a marketplace, but can you build an export brand coming out of India, right? So that's one area for sure. If you go to the raw material side of it, a lot of raw materials that get into a farm or a factory are also perishable. So there's an opportunity in those supply chains where you build the raw material part of it. For example, in fish, we are looking at finished seafood. But where is the fish coming from, right? And the supply chain behind that, like the essentially raw material, the chick for a chicken or for fish, the seed for a fish that goes into a pond, that's also a perishable supply chain. The same is true for silk. The same is true for cotton. So if you look at raw material supply chains, there are a lot of perishable supply chains there as well, where a lot of these same first principles actually act for them. So I would say if I'm looking at perishable, I would look more at exports, and I will look at more at raw material supply chains where there's still vacant areas where great companies can be built.
Got it. This has been super interesting, and I hope our viewers find it as well. So stay tuned for more. Thanks for tuning in. For more Matrix Moments episodes, you can head to www.matrixpartners.in/matrixmoments. You can also follow us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and YouTube for more updates.